tied up in a pan. I never let you forget who I am, 'cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. 'Cause I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. Welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Mompreneur Model Show. Hi, this is Dori DiCarlo. I had to stop there for a second because, you know, I do the Mompreneur Model Show, but it's not really the Mompreneur Model Show today. Today is just a really special show and kind of a little mini concert with a performer that I had the opportunity to get to see a couple of times and actually have seen in other things on Broadway and whatnot as I was going through my stuff because I knew he looked familiar and I was like, oh, yeah. So, you know, every once in a while you get to step out of what is your norm because it is my show. And so I am very excited to have George Dvorsky here today on Word of Mom Radio. So, George, hi. Welcome to the show.
I want to hear more singing. Keep going. I love that song. I can bring home the bacon, banana, fry it up in the pan, banana.
Isn't it a great, that was the first song that let women know that they could do it all. Mm-hmm. Now, in that TV commercial, though, was I Never Let You Forget You're a Man. And at first I used to sing it like that, but then I was like, wait a minute. I'll never let you forget who I am. And I was like, hey, you know, that'll be my little signature touch on that song.
It works.
But it does. It does.
I wanted
and
to say
atta
girl, but I didn't want to interrupt you when you were singing.
Well, you could say it after the fact, because you know what is true. And that's actually what we do here on this show, is we break those myths. That, because, you know, we were told that women couldn't have it all. You either had to be a businesswoman or you had to be a mom, and those twains really had a hard time meeting. And more women are realizing that they can have it all. They can be that mompreneur. They can open that business and work from home and build a business and raise their families. And that's why I love what I do. Even though my kids are grown and gone, I was a mompreneur long before anybody gave it a cute, you know, kitschy kind of name. Back then, all I would hear was, you know, okay, when are you going to stop this and get a real job? You know, so.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, my sisters-in-laws and nieces are a testament to that, too, so I'm all for it.
Oh, love that you are surrounded by all these strong women.
Yes.
That's
I believe
awesome.
In equality.
Hey, you know what? And let's face it, in the theater, there, you know, it is such a level playing field, you know, when it comes to roles and life. I mean, what has it been like? Take us on your journey. How long have you been doing this? This is a long time for you.
36 years. I started when I was 2. No, I was minus 5. I was in the womb when I started. So it's been 36
years. I had already signed up for commercials.
No, I grew up outside of Pittsburgh, and I was playing football my 9th grade year and broke my arm after our first game and needed something to do, so I joined the choir, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow. How amazing is that?
It's bizarre. I mean, I'm very grateful for the 36 years I've had, but I do look back and say, what was that? Because it just happened. My father passed away when I was 14. I was in 7th grade or 9th grade, and he loved to sing, and it was so funny because my mom, years later, said, you're following in your father's dreams, which I didn't know. He was an engineer. I didn't know he had any aspirations to really sing, but he sang in the service. He was in a barbershop quartet, and he was in the Army. And I was lucky enough that my family loved the arts so much that we would go to the Steelers football game or see a Pirates baseball game, but then we'd go to see Civic Light Opera also. So I was cultured at a young age, and I just always loved it. So when I started to sing, when I got my first big job, my mom burst into tears and said, you know, you sound just like your dad, and that's what really hit me.
Oh. Yeah, I love hearing stories like that.
Just a backstory.
I know, but it's, you know what, the why, let's face it, I always think of the movie Tootsie, And where when he's impersonating the woman and he's like, I know what it's like to be sitting by the phone waiting for it to ring as an unemployed actor, because, you know, very often in this business, you are your next job.
Yes. It's awful. I've always told kids this. If I go to speak to students or anyone who gets in this, one who gets in the business, I say, do you have any other options? And if they say yes, I say, take them. Because only if this is in your blood and you have nothing else that you can or want to do, because the rejection factor in this business is devastating. And I think some of my closest friends are listening to us right now, and they're probably nodding their heads because they've heard me go on and on and on about, I'm getting out of this, I can't stand it anymore. I mean, for every, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, sometimes in the 20s or 30 auditions, you get one job. Sometimes hundreds before you get a job. It's just it's a crazy, crazy business. And I've been very fortunate. Like I said, I'm grateful. Thank God, knock wood. I've had a career for 36 years, but it is not easy.
Well,
and how's that to put a damper on your Monday afternoon?
See, now I don't think, but see, now there goes my. That's why my brothers think I'm a Mary Poppins on this earth, because I look at it that you know your true passion, so nothing else is really going to make you happy, so it's worth that 100 auditions to get that job, to get to perform for somebody who then gets to walk out and remember who you are. And you've taken them out of all the crud that they're going through that day, that week, that year, that month, whatever, and take them to a different place for a little while. And that's a gift.
That's a very nice way to put it. Thank you.
You are very welcome, you know, and again, why my brothers are like, geez, you know, because I'm always in a good mood. We have a studio full of callers, but I'm going to play, I want to play Ali Vuzin. So set it up for us. I just want to do a quick song, and then I'll bring in a couple of callers. We'll start with the one from the 410 area code, and then we have a 301 and 507.
Oh,
we got a bunch of people calling it.
So wait, this is Ali Vuzin? We're doing Ali Vuzin first? Okay, I have two CDs out. The first one is a compilation. It's all Jerome Kern and Cole Porter classics. However, this was the one song I did not know. When the producer asked me to do it, I didn't know this one, and it's one of my favorite ones because of the. If you listen to the lyric carefully, you think it's going one way, and the last phrase, it goes a totally different direction.
Mm-hmm. It does. Well, I'm gonna start us with that song. And then I'm going to bring in a couple of callers. And
great.
That way you can answer their questions. So here we go. I'm so looking forward to this.
Thank you.
Since the moment when first, like a rocket, you burst in my hitherto tranquil skies. I am startled to find I am not colorblind when I view the blue of your eyes. Therefore, please do not take me to task if the following favor I ask. Allez-vous-en, mademoiselle. Allez-vous-en, go away. Allez-vous-en, mademoiselle. I have no time for you today. Do be a dear, just disappear, mademoiselle. Bid me goodbye, do. Allez-vous-en, please go away, mademoiselle. Or I may you. a dear, just disappear, mamselle. Bid me goodbye, do, do, do. Allez-vous, please go away, mamselle. Or I may.
That is just such a lovely song. It really is. You know, that's where, after I heard that song, I was like, oh, geez, man, I'm a fan.
Thank you.
Oh, I sincerely mean it. It's just, it's lovely. And I love the color. As you get to hear some of the different songs that we're going to share, you have such lovely colors to your voice, and so many tones, and it, almost the understory.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I started out in this business, I was what you would call a pop tenor. Growing up, I was singing, you know, 70s pop music, and then when I came to New York, I found a teacher said, no, you're a baritone. So she developed, which you'll hear later in some of the songs, a deeper, richer sound, so I'd like to use all of it.
Well, you know what? And that's true. That's true. And I see, so often it's funny because, you know, in this business, it's so easy to just get typecast into one little thing.
Yeah.
And this is it. And this is who you are. And this is what you do. And very often directors don't look outside the box and take somebody, you know, because
you know,
you have that leading.
Well,
I grew up in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad owned a nightclub. My mom was a nightclub singer. I started doing theater professionally at 12. I was director of theater in a college. And I always was credited for way outside of the box thinking. I mean, when
Attica
we did Evita, I cast a black guy to play Perone because he was a great actor. I can't even tell you how many people walked out of there going, I can't believe I didn't know Perone was black. I was just like, oh, man, really? You know,
yeah,
so that, well, exactly. But, you know, see, and that's the whole thing. And I think outside of the box thinking in theater is critical to its development, its success, and everything else. And I want to bring a caller in. We have, I'm going to bring you in, caller from the 410 area code. So, hi, who's this, please?
Hi, my name is Jane Collins, and I'm from Columbia, Maryland.
Hi, Jane.
How are you?
I've worked at the Olney Theater many times.
Hi, George.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Thanks
for
listening.
It's good to hear you. It's been fun. My question is, what has been the most demanding role that you've had physically, emotionally, and time-wise?
I think it's Scarlet Pimpernel. In the late 90s, I was a standby for this leading role in the Scarlet Pimpernel, and I went on close to 100 times, and in fact, the show went through a transformation. The original year of the show did not sell well, and they didn't like what they actually had, so they closed the show, revamped it in another version, and opened it about a month later. Well, the last month of that initial run, Douglas Sills, who was the original Pimpernel, decided to do the second run, so that because he was rehearsing every day, I did the entire last month of the run on Broadway, and it was, by Sunday night, I was hoarse every week because it was demanding vocally, it was demanding physically, there were sword fights. I think I was on stage 95% of the time. It was a huge show, and it was a lot of,
wow.
It was strenuous, but worth it.
Well, I'm glad you stuck it out and kept on going with all the more and more roles, and I've enjoyed talking to you. I'm sure 100,000 people want to talk to you, but thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And have a good continued run.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. For those other you know, 10,000 people that want to call in. The call-in number is 646-595-3163. We actually have another caller in, but before I bring you in, you know, right now, for those of you who are in the area, you know, New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, George is performing actually at the Westchester Broadway Theater. He's doing the role of Emile Dubec in South Pacific. And is this the first time you've done that role? I would not think so.
It's the first time I've done the entire show. I did a concert version a year ago, this week actually, at a Queens College. Our director, Charlie Repley, he was the chair of the department out there, and we had a full orchestra on stage. It was the concert version that was on PBS with Brian Stokes Mitchell and Reba McEntire. So it was a shorter book. We were off book. It was all memorized. It was the entire score, a truncated version of the book. It wasn't as involved as the – it was about a two-hour show instead of 2 hours and 40 minutes. But that was the only time I've done it. I was looking forward to doing it again. Thanks. I love playing this role. Well, the score. I mean, come on. Rodgers and Hammerstein, they are gods to me. And growing up listening, my father always bought the movie soundtracks. I didn't know much about original cast albums. I had all the movie soundtracks. So I grew up listening to Rosanna Brazzi and Gordon McRae. And so when I finally got the original South Pacific with Mary Martin and Ezio Pinza, I thought, wow, this is what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the times they cut songs for the movies and made them a little bit different, but to do the original shows. And the score, every song is a gem. That's what's so great about it.
It really is. And I, you know, it's such a great part, you know, because there's just so much, you know, that so many things that character goes through, you know, as a single dad and looking for love and then losing love and feeling he's got nothing to lose and risking his life and finding love. I mean, you know, it's life. You know, just
he's the kind of hero you'd like to be.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's a great way to put it. So I want to bring in another caller. We have a caller here from the 301 area code, who's been on hold quite a while, so I'm going to bring you in before we play another song. Hi, this is Dory. You're here with me and George Dvorsky. Who's this, please?
Hi, my name is Doro, and I'm from Bethesda.
Hi, Doro.
Hi, George. I've seen George in lots of things. I've seen him in Chicago, and I've seen him in Annie, and I think he's absolutely terrific.
Oh, thanks.
And I love him, and I have my very favorite or most, the song that I think is the most romantic song on musical theater is This Nearly Was Mine from South Pacific, and I know George was recently in South Pacific, and my question for George is, what do you think is the most the best love song in musical theater?
Oh, we're going to play it later, actually, Doro. It's by Rodgers and Hammerstein. I love singing This Nearly Was Mine. In fact, when people say, oh, you get to see Some Enchanted Evening, I say, yeah, I do, but This Nearly Was Mine is the song I love to do every night. That song ripped me to shreds, and I love it. But my favorite song in musical theater is Something Wonderful from The King and I, which we're going to play later.
Goodie. I love that one, too.
Thanks.
I do, too. And, you know, it's interesting because I've never heard a man sing it.
Well, yeah, there's a story,
you know?
Leading up to it, I'll tell you the story about that.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the story behind it because I think it must be something very lovely and kind of personal, too. But that's a great question. And you know what, Doro? He's actually still performing in South Pacific. When does the show run till, George?
We go through the 30th of this month, and then we have the month of December off while they do a Christmas show called It Happened One Christmas, I believe is the name of it. And we come back on New Year's Eve and run through January 25th.
Oh, neat. Well, I'm going to come to New York and see you in it.
I would love it, Doro. Thanks. Let me know when you're there.
Oh, that would be great. You know what? And you will love, if you have never been to the Westchester Broadway Theater, you will absolutely love it. You'll get a fabulous meal and a, you know, Broadway show right there. And I can't recommend it more highly to everybody. It's one of my favorite places to, be able to take in a show, have a nice meal, and be relaxed and really well entertained all the time. So, Dora,
okay.
Thank you so much for calling in, and
thanks,
I hope you
Dora.
Get to see the
Great
show.
To hear from you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
I want to play. That's really nice. See, you know, you have fans. That's what happens when you spend all these years in this business. You know.
Well, and my career is taking me all over the country. I've been lucky to truly make. I mean, I've done 6 Broadway shows, but I've made a career in regional theaters. So, people all over the country have seen me, and because I think Dora says she saw. I did Chicago and Maine actually. So she was in Algonquin, Maine. And then Annie was at in Houston and in Maryland. So she travels.
Wow. I was just going to say, go Dora. I like people who travel, you know. And I do, you know, and it's so much fun because that's the joy of doing theater and getting to, you know, travel and share your gifts no matter where you are and because theater's everywhere. And, you know, there's nothing to, you know, some of
nothing
these small little theaters.
Nothing compares to live theater. It will never be replaced. You can watch movies. You can watch television. There's nothing like the thrill of live theater.
I have to agree with you. And it always amazes me when I see people film a live show. And I never understand why they don't just set up the camera and that's it. So people can truly enjoy a live performance the way you would see it on the stage.
Right.
You would see everybody's reactions, everything going on. There are no close-ups, you know, but everybody's got to get there. Well, it's my film talent time kind of a thing. And you know, yeah, so I've never understood that. It's like, why can't you just let it happen and let people really experience it?
Yes.
So, all right, I want to take us into Long Ago, Far Away.
All right, this is a song from my first CD. My first CD is called In the Still of the Night. And like I said before, it's a compilation of Cole Porter and Jerome Kern classics. And this is my favorite Jerome Kern song. A lot of people think that All the Things You Are, they would say that's their favorite and most famous of the Kern catalog. But Long Ago and Far Away is one of my, it's my all-time favorite Kern song. I've sung it at weddings. I actually have been asked to sing for President Bush and Barbara Bush, and this is one of their favorites. I've done it for them. It's my favorite song of this album.
All right. Well, on that note, I can't wait to hear it again.
Aladdin's lamp is mine, the dream.
You know, it's funny, I was thinking of talking underneath the music, but it was just such pretty music.
I'd forgotten how long that fade-out is.
But you know what? And like I said, I was going to start talking as it was fading out because I knew we were going to have that 40 seconds. But, you know, sometimes the musicians deserve their moment, too.
All right,
because,
well,
you know,
there. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Such a lovely
song. Isn't that beautiful? I just love that song. It's a great lyric, and it's a beautiful melody. And you know, you hope the person that you love and you're with is the one you dreamt about for years and years and years.
Right. You know, which, you know, doesn't happen often, but it does.
That's true.
You know, you have to believe. You know what? I'm going to take a quick break. Our call-in number is 646-595-3163. I don't know if we're going to get to everybody in this call-in room, but we're going to try. And I just want to say thank you and play a little ad for our today's sponsor.
This year, why not do something really special for Thanksgiving? This year, why not whisk your whole family away to the South Pacific? I'm talking about the exclusive Thanksgiving performance of Rodgers and Hammerstein's South Pacific at the Westchester Broadway Theater. The perfect family celebration, and it begins with our delicious Thanksgiving buffet dinner, starting with fresh salads, breads, and added pasta, followed by delicious roast turkey carved to order, glazed Virginia ham with Dijon pineapple sauce, broiled Baja with crab meat stuffing, and of course all the trimmings, cornbread stuffing, candied yams, balsamic glazed carrots, seasonal ravioli, and so much more, and all topped off with mouth-watering homemade pumpkin and apple pie. And after dinner, you'll enjoy our acclaimed production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's immortal South Pacific. The perfect Thanksgiving Day celebration for all the family, all under one roof, and the parking is free. Order your tickets online at BroadwayTheater.com or call 914-592-2222. Our Thanksgiving Day matinee performance of Rodgers and Hammerstein's South Pacific. Doors open at 1 p.m., curtain at 3, Thursday, November 27th at the Westchester Broadway Theater.
You know, and I just want to thank them for sponsoring today's show. When they found out George was going to be on it, They were like, hey, we're in. So, well, you know,
let's do a show on Thanksgiving Day.
I know. That is a hard, you know. See, people, you don't understand
the dedication
that performers, but you know what? See, this is why people don't understand the dedication that performers have to their fans.
Right.
And to
we
the people who
people
come.
Don't. Right.
Exactly. You know?
My niece came to this show, and she was driving back to Pittsburgh yesterday, and I called her just to make sure that she was all right on the road. And she even said, you have two shows today? I said, yeah, we work when you don't. So that's why you can come see the shows.
That's right. That's really right. And it is. It's that, I mean, you know, people don't get it. It's so funny. When I was really performing a lot, you know, and I would sing in my church choir, and I would just look at the choir director, and it's like, you know, my voice isn't supposed to be at its peak until 2.
Right.
All right? 2 a.m. matinee, 2 p.m. matinee, you know, I'm there.
Yeah.
10 a.m. service,
try
I'm not singing
matinee.
High G.
Try student
yeah, you know what? Forget
10
it.
10 a.m., that's always fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, hey, they happen too. I mean, I did children's theater. We used to do bus and truck tours.
Yep.
And, you know, show it, meet at 8 a.m., show at 10, break down, drive to another hospital or institution, set up, show at 2. So that's real love, you know, of a lot of kids. We tour to a lot of hospitals and institutions and kids who never had the chance to get to live theater. Oh, the best. It's the best. Love doing children's theater. Well, I'm going to bring another caller in. We have a caller here from the 713 area code. And if you want to talk to us, make sure you hit the number 1 so I know to bring you in. Hi, this is Dory. You're here with me and George Dvorsky. Who's this, please?
Hi, Dory. Hi, George. My name is Jean. I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
Hi, Jean from Houston, Texas.
I'm a big George Dvorsky fan, and even though I live in Houston, I saw South Pacific because I just happened to be in Westchester County a couple weeks ago, and it was truly unbelievable.
Wow. Well,
it was
you.
Unbelievable. So if you live anywhere within driving distance, buy your tickets right now.
Well, there's an endorsement for you.
Yeah, no kidding.
I would even go Thanksgiving
that.
Day. But I have a question for George.
Yes.
My question is, if he was given an opportunity to record an album with another singer, who would he choose to record it with? I'm thinking it will be either someone named Linda, Julie, or Olivia. I'm just guessing.
Olivia Newton-John.
Really?
Yeah, we'll talk
Why?
About that.
Why her
I
over
have
the
been
other
a
two?
Fan, you've read too much about me. I've been a fan of her since I was a kid. And when I met her, I told her that and I started to laugh. I said, no, not really, because she's in her 60s now, so we're not that far apart, but... I just love her. I know everything about her. I'm almost a stalker. I'm close to stalker status with Olivia Newton-John. and plus, the other two aren't singing anymore that much. I mean, Linda Ronstadt can't sing now because of her Parkinson's disease, and Julie Andrews has really cut back on her singing, and Olivia's still going strong. So, Olivia, if you're listening, let's do a duet.
Well, you know, you never know. It's that 6 degrees of separation, right?
It was funny. When I saw her, she did a concert for a cancer fundraiser in Westchester County, I think about 3 years ago. And I went down to see it, and I actually knew her choreographer, so she took me backstage to meet her. And this is the second time I'd met her, so it was really fun to see her again. And he said, you should hear this guy sing. And she said, oh, we should have had you sing a duet with us. I said, yeah, if you scrape me up off the floor. I thought I'd been a basket case. I need more notice than just 2 minutes.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes 2 minutes' notice is the best notice because then you don't have any time to think about it. Let's face it. Sometimes your thoughts, it's like, oh, my gosh. Whereas if you don't know you're going to do something, you just get up and do it. Then afterwards, you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just did that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I've been an Olivia fan for years and years and years, and people know that about me. I don't hide it.
Does she know that you stalk her?
Well, you know what? I thought I was a stalker till I saw the people at her concerts, and I'm not a stalker. I watch what these people do. People would come up to her with albums that she signed in the 70s and go, do you remember when you signed this? And she was so gracious. I wanted to go, oh, come on, people. She's not going to remember signing your album 35 years ago. Anyway.
Well,
all right, well, thank you.
You.
Thanks a lot, Dory. Thanks
for
George. Great. I'm loving the show.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, Jean. And you know what? Tell your friends, because this is an archive. So even if they couldn't tune in live, they can hit this link anytime and get to hear this.
Oh, I'll tell them.
Yeah, tell everybody.
I don't know if you know this, Jean. Olivia Newton-John was in Houston on Saturday night. You should have gone to see her. You could have told her you were going to listen.
Now you tell me.
And
darn
it's the fact that I know that's really scary, isn't it?
At least I saw you in Westchester. Yeah, that is scary.
Yeah.
But at least I heard you in Westchester. So.
Well, thank you.
Bye.
Send your friends. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Hi, Jean. Thanks so much for calling in. What a cool thing. How nice is that? That somebody was here visiting.
I do a lot of shows in Houston at the Theater Under the Stars, which is their big regional theater there. I've worked there numerous times. And I think I've met Jean a couple of times, actually. I know her well.
That's a really wonderful thing. All right, let's go into now your favorite song, Something Wonderful.
Okay. Once again, Rodgers and Hammerstein, who I grew up with, and I think they are the gods of theater. This was always my favorite song. It's sung by a woman, and I thought, well, how can I record it? How can I sing it? It's a woman's song. And I really listened to it and thought, wait a minute, it's not gender specific. It's someone telling someone about this man that they love.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to really be the singer talking about how she loves or he or she loves this person. And then I found out, and I probably should have really researched this to prove it, but someone told me that originally this song was written for the Crawler home, who is, if you know the King and I, he's basically the assistant to the king or his right-hand man. And the actor originally who played the Crawler home wasn't a good enough singer, so they gave it to Lady Tiang.
Ha!
So if you listen to it, you can see that it works just as well with a man singing it. And it's just my favorite song in musical theater. And it has been for a while, and I think it will be forever. So this is Something Wonderful, The King and I.
Oh, well, thank you for that wonderful lead-in. And enjoy, everyone.
This is a man who thinks with his heart. His heart is not always wise. This is a man who stumbles and falls, but this is a man who tries. This is a man you'll forgive and forgive and help and protect as long as you live, he will not always say what you would have him say, but now and then and
applaud.
it's a great song. I mean, the pinnacle of that song, "He Always Needs You," it gets me every time. I think it's funny. A friend of mine was not actually funny, haha funny, but a friend of mine in the Boston area, where I work a lot at North Shore Music Theater, her husband had early onset Alzheimer's. And this became like an anthem to her because she had to remind herself that this illness, he couldn't control it.
Mm.
And this song, she still weeps every time she hears it because it just reminds her so much of, you know, that here is this great man that she'd see a glimpse of him every once in a while, but she couldn't blame him for who he was or what he was.
Mm.
So if you really sit back and take it out of the show, it really has some resonance.
Well, see, that's what I love about the CD format, because unless you know these shows, you wouldn't know that was from The King and I.
Right.
Just a beautiful song.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I, you know, and that's the mark of a great song, is that it transcends where it, quote-unquote, came from and stands on its own.
I mean, look at Richard Rodgers. He wrote with Lorenz Hart and Oscar Hammerstein, and you would never know it's the same composer.
Right.
The classics he wrote with Larry Hart are totally opposite from Oscar Hammerstein, and they're all brilliant songs.
Mm-hmm.
And he even wrote stuff on his own, which sounds totally different than the other two lyricists he had. So I think he was a genius.
I just finished co-directing and stage managing a Rodgers and Hart review in Connecticut. You know,
great
and
stuff.
We pared down from 65 songs to 42 or 44. And of the 44 songs, I would think the general population probably knew 35.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't even realize all the music that you know from these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and see, that's the wonderful thing about having the career that you've had and look at everything that you've been exposed to. What is your... we've got another caller. I'll bring you in a second from the 850 area code. What is your favorite role so far?
George Novak and She Loves Me. People do not know it.
Love that show.
They call it a gem of a musical, and no one will do it, and it kills me because I've been begging the theaters that I frequent to do it, and they say we can't sell it because it opened in the 50s. Barbara Cook and Daniel Massey and Jack Cassidy were actually the stars of it. The reviews came out the day of a blizzard, and back then you bought the New York Times to read the reviews, and no one got the Times that day, so it struggled in its initial run. And because it's basically the story of You Got Mail. I mean, there's been so many spin-offs on that
little
theme.
Little Shop Around the Corner. Oh, my gosh. See, knowing that show, and now I'm picturing you in that part. Oh, my gosh.
I truly feel like the last time I had done it was the Paper Mill Playhouse in Millburn. And some of the reviews said this was a role written for me, and I truly felt that. I am George Novak. Kind of like... I just feel like that role is me, and I love it, and no one ever does it. It's such a gorgeous show.
You know, it's an interesting story. When I went to see that show, the second or third time I went to see it, I was there, and I was an interpreter for the hearing impaired, one of the things that I've done in my life. And a couple of people in the audience turned out to be hearing impaired, and the director knew I was there. I had not seen this show in 11 years. And he was like, could you do me a favor and interpret the show? And I was like, sure. And it turned out there was another interpreter in the audience who after the show came up to me and she said, you know, I'm actually an interpreter also. I was like, why didn't you hop up there with me? She was like, I had so much fun watching you interpret this show. I was like, you had to see, you know, the song where they're all going back and forth, where, you know, there's like five people singing. And
I would like to see a face like yours cracked.
Uh-huh.
There's an idea. Yeah, it's brilliant. And it's written by the Harnick and Bach who did Fiddler on the Roof, and people don't know this score. It's such a gorgeous show.
Oh, see, you know, she loves me, but doesn't show it. Oh, my gosh. I'm serious. I totally picture you. If you are ever doing that show, please make sure that you email me, because I would come see you do that. I don't care where.
Right.
That is totally a part written for you. Wow. All right.
And I felt it, and I've done it 4 times, and I love it.
We've got a caller from the 850 area code. I am bringing you in now. You've held on for a long time. Hi, this is Dory. You're here with me and George Dvorsky. Who's this, please?
Hi, this is Kathy, and I'm from Gulf Breeze, Florida, and actually George and I went to high school together, and he was fabulous back then as well.
Oh, my
goodness. Question, hey, George, you used to drive me back into the traffic to practices when we were in musicals and plays together.
How are you?
I'm fine. I have a question for you, George.
Sure.
You know, I've raised my family, and I've done, you know, mostly everything on that aspect. Do you think it's too late for an old gal like me to try to get into the business at this age?
No, never too late. There are roles for everyone, and if you want to do it, do it.
Do you have to have the special training, though?
It would help to keep studying. I still, you know, go to voice lessons and acting classes. It's like an athlete. You got to keep training, but, yeah, you can do it.
Well, thanks,
I
George,
yes.
And it was good hearing you from you, and
what a
you're
surprise.
Absolutely
thanks.
Wonderful, and thanks. I can't wait to see you again.
Thanks, Kathy. Take care.
Bye.
Wow, how cool is
that?
Kathy, thank you so much. Oh, my gosh. See, you know, you make an impression on people. It doesn't matter.
Oh, that's
years
great.
Never matter. That's the joyful thing about life. And especially life in the theater. I mean, I'll run into people I did shows with back in 1970-something, and they always laugh because I've looked like this since I was 12. I mean, literally, I've looked like this. I did Kate in Kiss Me, Kate when I was 13. I did Sabina in The Skin of Our Teeth when I was 16 years old in Summerstock, and my Mr. Antrobus was 48. You know, I mean, so I have always looked like this, and the first thing they ask is there a picture of me rotting somewhere? But you literally pick up, you know, from that last second that you were together, you just pick up and go right on.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing bond.
I had a great time. I loved all those people. I don't see them as much, of course, because we were all over the country, but it's great to be reunited with them.
That's so cool. All right, I want to bring in, all right, I want to do I Wish I Could Forget You.
Okay, another one. This is also sung by a woman, and I thought, I was in the original company of Passion on Broadway, Stephen Sondheim's Passion.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard this song, I thought it was devastating because it is the leading lady trying to get the leading man to fall in love with her. If she's ill, she's on her last leg, basically. And she wants him to dictate a letter to her in her own words, but she wants him to say it to her, so she tells him what to say, and this is basically, this is what he writes. And I thought, I can do this because it's supposed to be Giorgio saying this to Fosca, so I thought, I'm going to do it, and I recorded it, and I love it, and I've gotten great response from it. So this is one of my favorite songs from Stephen Sondheim's Passion.
Oh, everybody enjoy, because it's lovely.
I wish I could forget you, erase you from my mind. But ever since I met you, I find I cannot leave the thought of you behind. That doesn't mean I love you. I wish that I could love you. I know that I've upset you. I know I've been unkind. I wanted you to vanish from sight, but now I see you in a different light. And though I cannot love you, I wish that I could love you. For now I'm seeing love like none I've ever known. A love as pure as breath, as permanent as death, implacable as stone. that like a knife has cut into a life I wanted left alone. A love I may regret, but one I can't forget. So far inside my mind, but there you are and there you will stay. How could I ever wish you away? I see now I was blind, and should you die tomorrow, another thing
Wow.
A love as pure as breath, as permanent as death, implacable as stone. I mean, that really kind of gets you.
Mm. You know, I have to say that, I'm very fortunate that I get to share people on this show and stuff like this. And, you know, I've had singers on, but... Yeah, every time I hear your music, I'm rapidly, you know, side with choosing. It's like, oh, my gosh, I've become a fan.
Oh,
you know?
Thank you.
Oh, I sincerely mean it. It's just, you know, there are some people whose voices you can just listen to, and every time you hear them sing this song, you hear something new in it. And
oh, thank
that's, you. You know, that's why people should buy your CDs. Hey, tell people where they can get your CDs, George.
They're available on iTunes and Amazon and any of the online stores. Just put George Dvorsky in your iTunes, and there's a bunch of stuff, actually. I've done a lot of cast albums. In fact, the last song we're going to play is from a Brigadoon cast album. So I've got two solo CDs, but I'm on a bunch of others. So if you really want to listen to me, check out iTunes and Amazon. Those are the two big ones.
And Dvorsky is spelled D-V-O-R-S-K-Y.
Yeah, check my dad was Czechoslovakian. They don't like any vowels, so there's only one vowel in a 7-letter name.
That's like my friend's last name.
You say the Y is a vowel too, but I like just to say the O's there.
Yeah,
like
my friend's last
name is
Tricka. There's no vowel except for Y.
Yeah, I did a Boston Pops concert with B. Arthur, and she said my name. She said, please welcome George Dvorsky. And my mom said, she says it right, which made me laugh because everyone tries to put like Dvorsky. It's just Dvorsky. Got that D.
Oh, it's
D
not
together.
Even really the D? It's kind of
silent?
Yeah,
it's like when my, in the show, my daughter's name's in Ghana. It's N-G-A-N-A. You just kind of say, you don't say the D is there, but it's not Dvorsky, it's Dvorsky.
Ah, well, then
you
we're
hear
here
the
with
phone?
George
Dvorsky. You hear Dvorsky. The difference on the phone? Yeah, there you go.
I do. That's why I'm saying it. Now I'm saying it back. You know, we're here with George Dvorsky. And believe me, I will get that right from now on. And, you know, just a little housekeeping here on Word of Mom Radio. Tomorrow we're here with Managing Mompreneur Mayhem, and Sina's going to be talking about finances for your business and stuff. Wednesday, Branding Beyond Blogging is here with Glenda Cates. And on Thursday, on my regular time at 1 o'clock and my regular Wednesday show, Patty Farmer is going to be here with me, and I'm very excited to be sharing her. She's somebody who has mentored, you know, tens of thousands of women worldwide. So very excited to have her on the show too. And I, you know, love that we were able to do this. We were going to record the show live beforehand. And then I was going to play it, and I called George and I was like, you know, I'd rather put in a regular show because then I'm going to be acting the reactions to your songs, you know,
I'm glad you did because we were supposed to do this, last Wednesday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I rushed home from the matinee and called you, and you said, no, let's do it live on Monday. I said, you're in. That was great. Thank you. I know.
So much better. So much better to have people be able to call. And you know what? We have a couple of callers dropped out just because technology is technology. I have one more caller here from the 914 area code, but I don't know if you actually want to speak or you just want to listen, so hit the number 1 if you'd like to ask George a question. I want you to lead into There But For You, which I have to say, that song just completely blows me away.
Well, it's from Brigadoon, and I've played Tommy in Brigadoon 12 times, more than any other role in my career. I was kind of like Tommy du jour for a while. The first time I'd done it was Lincoln Center, and then I got calls to just do it. And I didn't know the show the first time I'd done it, and it is such a gorgeous show. Lerner and Lowe. Mm-hmm. Once again, the score is just so beautiful. The book people feel can be clunky and a bit wordy, but the score is so beautiful. And I was doing a recording called Leading Men Don't Dance, which was a review we had done at Rainbow and Stars, and the producer of that CD asked me if I would sing. He had recorded Brigadoon as a cast album to be released in London. And for the release in the United States, he asked if he could put me on it. So I went to London and recorded all of Tommy's stuff. And he basically inserted me into a CD that was already recorded. So I never met any of the other cast. The duets I sang with Fiona, I never met Janis Kelly. She's gorgeous on it, but I never met her. I did it years later, and it was released in the United States, and this is from Brigadoon, and it's one of my favorite songs called There But For You Go I.
This is hard to say, but as I wandered through the I felt for just a fleeting moment that I suddenly was free of being lonely. Then I closed my eyes and saw the very reason why. I saw I thought to myself with a sigh, there but for you go I. I saw a man walking by the sea, alone with the tide was he. I looked and I thought, as I watched him go by, there but for you go I. Lonely men around me, trying not to cry, till the day you
that let us out at exactly 60 minutes. So anybody who's tuning in now, hearing us is in the archive. So anybody that tunes in live will continue to hear everything. So we can say a quick goodbye. But wow, what a way to end the show.
Thank you.
George, thank you so much for sharing part of your time off.
Thank you.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Absolutely. And I'd love to have you back. And I'm sure I'll get to see you again before the show ends at the theater.
Thanks so much. I love it. It was a pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And, you know, go out and create a marvelous you.